Today's shiur is Masechet Bavli Daf Kuf Gimel, and we begin on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis at the Gemara Tanan Hasam. Again, to review, as we learned in the Mishnah at the end of the previous shiur, the halacha of the Mishnah taught us was that if somebody sells a base kor offer, all of the area is included in the sale. However, if there are ditches or stones that are 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep, they're excluded. Then the Mishnah said, if the wording of the sale was kebeis kor offer, then even if the ditches and the stones are 10 tefachim, the halacha is that they are included in the sale. Begins the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah Masech, the Erechim that teaches us. Hamagdish Adei B'Shas Hayoivim. And a word of introduction. We know that there are two types of field. Mitzvashem will learn Masech, the Erechim. There's a Stei Achuza. A Stei Achuza is a field that somebody got as Yerusha. And then there are other fields that people purchase. The Torah says that in the Yoivil year, if somebody, all properties return back to their original owner. If somebody normally is magdish something, makes it hegdish. So we've learned many times, Baruch Hashem, the way you could redeem that hegdish is paying the value of that item. However, the Torah says that if somebody is magdish, a stei achuza, he's magdish that type of a field. The Torah gives a specific formula, a specific rate for the redemption. And the rate is 50 shekel kesef, 50 shekel for a property the size that could plant a chaymer zroim, zera chaymer zroim, sairim. A chaymer, which is a kor of barley, which is actually the size of the land that we've been discussing in our Mishnah, the size of a base kor. That's a firm formula to be followed, whether the property is really worth more, whether the property is worth less. Furthermore, the 50 shekel that we speak about as the formula for redemption is if that field was became hegdish the first year after Yovel. So that means here we have the maximum amount of years that the field would remain with hegdish, 49 years until the next Yovel. That's what the Torah says, that the formula is, as I said, 50 shekel kesef. However, let's say the person was magdish the field, not in the first year after Yovel, but he was magdish it in later years, so the formula changes, and you only pay a portion of that 50 shekel. And actually, the formula is very easy. The formula is that every year is equal to a seller in punyan, because 49 times a seller plus a punyan equal 50 shekel kesef. So if you only were magdish it, let's say 10 years after Yovel, you would take that into consideration when you paid it. Of course, the halacha also is that when somebody is paid a field that he himself was magdish, that belonged to him, he has to add a chaymish. He has to add 20%, but that isn't specific to the formula that we're discussing. So says the Mishnah, Tanan Hasan, ha-magdish sodeyu, if somebody's magdish is field, b'shas ha-yoyvel, and here we have a number of ways of learning the wording of this Mishnah. The wording that we have, which is the Rashbam's Girs, is B'shas HaYoivel, that the Mishnah is teaching us that this halacha of the specific formula that I described only applies when Yoivel is applicable, which is when Klal Yisrael were all in Eretz Yisrael. And as the Rishonim explained, it isn't related to Beis HaMikdash standing or Beis HaMikdash not standing. What it's related to is Klal Yisrael and Etz Yisrael, then Yovel is applicable, if not, not. That's the girsa of the Rashbam. However, Tosfos has a girsa of not Bishas HaYovel, but rather his girsa is Bishnas HaYovel, in the Yovel year. And Tosfos says that actually that girsa is dependent on a machloikis amaroim, a machloikis of Rav and Shmuel, if one is able to be magdish a field during the Yovel year. Because what's the point of being magdish the field if it's automatically going to revert back to the owner? So according to the Manda Omer that holds, you can be magdish the field, and this thing will apply even during the Yovel year, then the Girsa B'Shnas HaYovel is correct. Whereas according to the Girsa, that according to the Manda Omer that says that you can't be, that the dinim of Magdish B'Shnas doesn't apply if you're Magdish in the actual year, in the Yovel year. So then Taisvah says, even if we'll have the Girsa of B'Shnas HaYovel, it will not mean the actual Yovel year, it will mean the year after Yovel. And actually, this question is relevant La'aloch L'maisa. Because according to the Girsa that we have, of a Magdish today, B'Shas HaYovel, what this Girsa is saying is that if there is no Yovel, so you can't be Magdish. If there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Yovel, there is no Hegdish. And according to that Girsa, if let's say somebody, Bezman Hazen nowadays, were to be Magdish a field, or Magdish anything, since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, even if he used the word Hegdish, which as we've discussed in previous Shurim, is inappropriate, it wouldn't mean anything. Because you can't be magdish something in a year nowadays. However, if we take Tosfos' girsa, it could be that the word hegdish is usable even bisman hazeh. And that's why it's very important that a person, if he wants to give tzedakah, he wants to give a donation, should be careful not to use the word hegdish, because then it will become hegdish, but he doesn't have anywhere to take it, because unfortunately, we have no Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, this is relevant to another Shaila that we discussed when we learned Masechta Nedarim. When we learned Masechta Nedarim, we discussed that a neder, to be effective, has to be verbalized. But we discussed that a neder letztaka, bevavcha, a neder letztaka, even if you just decided to give tztaka, it's already considered a neder. But there's a machlokes rishonim, two opinions cited in Shulchan Aruch, if that is specifically a din regarding hegdish, or it's regarding any tztaka. So now, it's very important. Because if nowadays, the entire word hegdish really doesn't mean anything, and if we'll also say that by tztaka, the din of dvarim shebelev enim dvarim remains in effect, and therefore just saying that you want to be magdish something, doesn't mean anything, doesn't mean, just saying that you want to give something to Tztaka, the din is just thinking about it, doesn't obligate you. So the Shaila comes up, it's a pretty frequent Shaila. Let's say there's an appeal being made for some cause. And when the appeal is being made, the person gets excited, he gets anxious to give a nice donation. But till when it's his turn to call out his donation, he cools off very quickly. It's very easy to cool off quickly. So if we say that tztaka has the same din as hegdish, once you made a decision to give a certain amount of tztaka, it's a neder, and you can't back off. But if tztaka is not treated like hegdish, and you didn't verbalize yet your pledge, you could back off before you could still back off from that decision. So again, says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, Hamagdish today b'shas ha'yoyvel, the formula, as I said, is nice and labeis tzera chayim s'ayrim, Chamishim shekel kesef. Continues the Mishnah in saying, Hayisham nekoyim amukim yutfachim. If there are ditches 10 tfachim deep, oisloim gevoim yutfachim, or there are stones that are 10 tfachim deep, ein nimdadim imay. They're not counted together with the rest of the field. Pachs mikan, less than that, nimdadim imay. Now, as a machlokes rishonim, how to understand the words, Einem Dodem Imay. that if you have these stones or these ditches that are 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep, they're not included with the rest of the field. We're going to learn the Gemara with the opinion, according to the approach of the Rashbam, that the Rashbam says that Einim Dodim Ima means that they're not counted together with the rest of the field, that the special formula that we said applies to Magdus Tadeu will be used. Rather, they're redeemed according to their value. Another girsa, another opinion and understanding the Gemara, is that Einim Dodim Imai is that they're not hegdish at all. And you don't have to be poised them at all. A third girsa is that they are hegdish, but when the calculation is made, it's made separately. Which is a different, difficult pshat, because the Gemara is going to say that pshat in a minute. So again, we're going to follow the Rashbam's pshat that says what the Gemara assumes Einim Dodim Ima means, that these racks or these ditches that are 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep are redeemed at their value. Ask the Gemara, and again, this is the way we're going to explain according to Rashbam, but my Ligdash Shabbat B'Nafshayu. The Gemara's question is, we can understand why they're not included with the rest of the field. That the Gemara could understand, because they're distinct, given that they're 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep. But why is the regular formula not used? Ask the Rishonim, let's figure this out according to Rashbam. The Gemara is asking that the formula of Chamishim Shekel Kesef should be used, even for these ditches and for these racks. So if the same formula is going to be used, so then why does the Mishnah say Einim Dodim Imai? What's the difference? You might as well measure it all together. Well, how would we understand the Mishnah of Einim Dodim Ima? So some Rishonim say that that's exactly the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is that Einim Dodim Imai, why? The formula of Chamishim Shekel Kesef should be applied, and therefore, since it should be applied, there should be no din of Einim Dodim Imai. However, Rashi, in Masech Kedushin, says as follows. The Gemara never assumed that, let's say you have a rack, or let's say you have a ditch. So you have the area to get to the top of the rack, or to the bottom of the ditch, and then you have the area that's the top, or the bottom. The Gemara never assumed, says Rashi, that the area to get to the top or get to the bottom should be hegdish. It's not really level area. And that's why it can't be included with the rest of the field. What the Gemara's question is very geschmack. Fine. We have to separate it out because you have this area how to get to the top or get to the bottom. But once we separate it and we only take into consideration the top or the bottom, why is the formula that we are paided according to its value, shouldn't the formula be like the rest of the field, given that there's halacha of a magdish sadeyu, that the formula is chamishim shekel kesef? The chitema, says the Gemara, perhaps you'll argue, kiven de lehava beis kor, that if you'll combine all of the area of the racks and the ditches, it won't combine to an area of beis kor, loikachi. And that's why, when did the Torah say this din of Chamishim Shekel Kesef, specifically when it's a size of a base court, an area of Zerah Chaim Sa'irim, as I said at the beginning of this year, says the Gemara, that's not true. Because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk uses the word Soda for Tanyan, and the Brisa says Soda. Magdus Tei Echuza. Why does the Torah have to add the word Soda? Ma Tam Eloima. Lefisha Nemar. Zerah Chaimus Oirim, B'chamish Shekel Kesef. Only if I only had that pasuk, I would understand El Shehidish Ben Yezer. This din only applies if I was Magdish a base core. Menayin L'Rabbis, how do I know if I wasn't Magdish an entire base core? I was only Magdish an area that's the size of a Lesach or a Chatzi Lesach, a Saw, a Tarkiv, of a Chatzi Tarkiv. So you don't have such a large area. How do we know that we still use this formula? That this is the formula that's always used in the situation of Magdish Tei Echuza. So you can't say that the reason that Einim Dodim Ima is because they're separate and it's too little. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ukiv Bar Chama, Hochem in the Koyim Malei Mayim Meskinim. We are referring here not to regular ditches, but we're referring to ditches that are full of water. And since they're ditches that are full of water, The labnes rinenu. So they're not areas that really could be properly cultivated. And that's why they're not considered a regular situation of magdish teyachuza. And that's why on these areas the halacha is that you don't, again, I'm using the Rajban Pshat, that you don't use the formula of chamishim shekel kesef, rather you use the formula, you use value. And says the Mardekanami, how do I know that when we speak about Nekoim, we're speaking about ditches that are totally non-usable, the Tani Dunya the Slon. The Mishnah groups together Nekoim and Sloim to teach us, just like Sloim on a rock, you can't plant. The Nekoim that we're talking about are full of water. And as the Rishonim point out, they're full of water, and that water is not usable either. Because if the water can be used for irrigation purposes, so I have a real use for it. And they're not usable, and that's why they don't have the regular din of a Magdish Teyachuza. Shema Mino. Ask the Gemara, if the Nekoim that Mishnah is referring to are so non-usable because they're full of water, so why does the Mishnah differentiate between a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep versus a ditch that's not 10 tefachim deep? I feel b'hachs mikan nami. Even if they're not 10 tefachim deep, if they're full of water and they're not usable, they shouldn't be counted. Answers the Gemara, hani nagni da aramikra, shod da aramikri. A ditch that's not 10 tefachim deep is no more than a crack in the ground. A rack that's not 10 tefachim high is just considered like a spine. The word shadri means a spine. Just considered like the earth, there's no piece of land that's completely level. And therefore, they're considered part of the property. So what we've established, we learned a very nice Gemara. We've established an understanding of the Mishnah Masechta Erechin. That the Mishnah Masechta Erechin taught us there's a din of Magdish Teyachuza, that the Torah gives us a special formula of Chamishi Shekel Kesef for every base car to be the formula for redemption. But the Mishnah continues to teach us that if you have rocks that are 10 tefachim high or ditches that are 10 tefachim deep full of water, they will be excluded from that area and they will be assessed according to their value. Very nice Gemara. What does that have to do with Masechta Bava Basra? Ask the Gemara a very good question. Hachamai. We just learned the Mishnah at the end of the Shia yesterday. Reviewed it at the beginning of today's Shia. That our Mishnah also says that if there are ditches 10 tefachim deep when I sell you a property, they're not included in the amount of property that I have to give you because there's such a deep ditch. Ask the Gemara, what type of ditch is our Mishnah referring to? Hachamai. What will be the din? What type of ditch is our Mishnah referring to? Is it a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep, even though it's not full of water? Or is it a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep, that's full of water? But if it's not full of water, even though it's 10 tefachim deep, it will be included in the sale. And the Rishonim point out that our Gemara doesn't speak about the racks. The Gemara's question is about the ditches. Rapapa, says Rapapa, in our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that if I sold you a piece of property and it has a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep, it's not included in the sale, apishen malei mayim. Doesn't make a difference if it has water or not. If it's 10 tefachim deep, it's not included in the sale. My tama, why? Because ein adam roitzo, shiyitein, ma'isim v'makam echad, I bought a piece of property from you. I bought a piece of property that I want should be a level piece of property. If it has these ditches that are 10 tefachim deep, even if they're not full of water, it certainly breaks up the level field that I bought. And therefore it doesn't make a difference. Maskel of Ravino, asked Ravino, I don't understand. When we learned the Mishnah, when we learned now the Mishnah Masechta Erechin, the Mishnah Masechta Erechin used the word Sloim V'Nekoim. And the Gemara said that since the Mishnah puts the word Nekoim together with Sloim, it has to be the type of ditch that's similar to a cellar. What is the characteristic of a cellar? The characteristic of a cellar is, as I said, it's an area that can't be cultivated. And therefore the ditch, we had to explain, was a ditch that was full of water. Because if it wasn't full of water, it could be cultivated. So ask the Gemara, just like when the Mishnah Masechta Erchin grouped Nekoyim together with Sloyim, that taught us that the definition of Nekoyim means not just that it's a ditch, but it's a ditch full of water, our Mishnah also grouped Nekoyim and Sloyim together. So shouldn't that be an indication that the definition of the word Nekoyim in our Mishnah also means that it's full of water? That's the most question. Maskla Ravina. Just like the Mishnah and Erchin put Nekoyim and Sloyim together, and that helped us understand what the word Nekoyim mean. Shouldn't that be the same in our Mishnah? The Dumi is the Sloyim Toyim. And Masloyim is an area, the Labnei Zreyaninu. It can't be cultivated. Afhani. The lab is Zreyaninu. So it has to be. So isn't that a proof that the definition of the word Nekoyim and our Mishnah means not just that it's a ditch ten tefachim deep, but it's full of water? Answers the Gemara, Kiktani Dumi the Sloyim Apox Mikan. What it means is as follows. Yes, but the Mishnah is comparing the Koyim to Sloyim. But our Mishnah spoke about the Koyim in two types of situations. One was a situation where it's ten tefachim deep. One was a situation when it's not ten tefachim deep. When it's ten tefachim deep, our Mishnah said it's not included in the sale. When it's 10 tefachim deep, it's not included in the seal. When it's less than 10 tefachim deep, it's included in the sale. What would be the halacha if it's not 10 tefachim deep and it's full of water? So it's not, you can't cultivate it. It's full of water. That's where it's dumi the sloim. That even though it can't be cultivated, because it's full of water, if it's not 10 tefachim deep, it's included in the sale. But, if it's 10 tefachim deep, then it doesn't have to have water. It's not included in the sale. So now, ask the Rishonim the obvious question. Now we have a whole new definition of the word Nekoyim, even if they're grouped together with Sloyim. The Nekoyim, as soon as it's 10 tefachim deep, it's not included in the sale. So now, do we reinterpret the Mishnah Masechet Erechin and say that in Erechin 2, once you have a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep, it's not included in the sale, even if it doesn't have water? Ritva says, yeah. Now that the Gemara reinterpreted our Mishnah, the same will be in the Mishnah Masechet Erechin. And we now will learn that Nekoyim in Masechet Erechin, regarding the din of Magdus Teyachuza, as long as it's 10 tefachim deep, but not included. Which is a simple way of learning the Gemara. The Rashbam disagrees. And the Rashbam says that you have to look at each subject differently. And by Mechira, where I'm buying something from you, And as the Gemara says, the person doesn't want to buy a piece of property that's not level. So as soon as the ditch is 10 tefachim deep, even if it's not full of water, it's not what I bought. However, by Magdus Teyachuz, it's not a question of buying and selling, and it has different rules. And therefore, the Neka, for the ditch not to be included in the sale, it has to be 10 tefachim deep, full of water. And therefore, the halacha of Magdus Teyachuz and the halacha of Mechira will be different halachas. Continues the Gemara. So we learned at the end of the Mishnah that there's a number of ways of understanding this next Gemara. We've spoken in our Mishnah that two types of situations. Let's quickly review. The Reisha said that when I said Beis Kor Ofra on Imay Chalach, so if the ditches or the racks are 10 tefachim, they're not included. The second case was where I used the word kibbeis kor offer, and there, even if it has ditches, they're included in the sale. So now comes Rabbi Yitzchak and says, Troshen sha'amru beis aver kabim, that if you have so many ditches that they're not, that they equal four kabin, and we'll explain that more in a moment what this means, then the halacha is that they're excluded from the sale. And as a machlok to show them how to understand Rabbi Yitzchak's statement, some say it's going on the ratio. That the ratio said that which ditches are excluded, the ditches that are 10 tefachim deep. Right? Says Rabbi Yitzchak, but if they're less than 10 tefachim, they're included. When are they included? If they don't equal four kabin. But if I have four kabin of ditches, yes, they're not 10 tefachim deep. But I have so many ditches, then they're not included in the sale. Other Rishonim say Rav Yitzchak is going on the Sefer. That that the Sefer said that if I use the word kibbeis kor, I added that chof, then the ditches are included. When are the ditches included? If I don't have four kabim. But if I have so many ditches, even though the word kibbeis kor was used, they won't be included in the sale. And a third opinion in the Rishonim is Rav Yitzchak going both on the Reisha and on the Sefer and saying that when we have so many ditches, arba kabin of ditches, they're not included. Trashin Sha'amru, base arba kabin. Machlokes Rishonim. Two machlokes Rishonim I want to repeat. One is, Rav Yitzchak's making the statement about ditches. That we have so many ditches, even though they're not 10 tefachim deep, they could be excluded from the sale. What will be the halacha regarding stones? Will Rabbi Yitzchak say the same thing regarding stones that are not 10 tefachim high, but I have so many of them? Some say Rabbi Yitzchak will say the same regarding ditches as he does regarding stones. Others say, no, Rabbi Yitzchak is speaking about ditches, not about stones. Another machlokes is, let's say I didn't sell you a property that's the size of a base core, which actually the size of a base core is about 75,000 square amos. A pretty decent piece of property. What would be the halacha if I sold you a smaller piece of property? Will this din of arba kabin be adjusted proportionally? That too is a machlokes Rishonim. But again, let's learn the Gemara simple. Amar Yitzchak, Trashim Shamru, base arba kabin. It's referring to the situation that if you have so many ditches, they will be excluded. Says Rav Ukva Bachama, v'hu shemuvloim b'chameshes kabin. When will four kabin of ditches ruin the sale if they're concentrated so heavily that all four of those kav of ditches are in the area of five kabin? So if I have such a concentration of ditches, that's when the sale is voided. But if I don't have such a concentration, if they're more dispersed, then and they're not that tefachim deep, they won't affect the sale. Rav Chiver Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. And again, we're going to learn the Gemara as the Rashbam learns it. Where Rav Chiver Abba is arguing on Rav Ukva, and he says, "V'hu mishum v'loim berubi shel sada." His opinion is no. Let's say you have a field that we're talking about, a field that's a kor. How many saw do you have in a kor? 30 saw. So he says, if these ditches muvloim berubi shel sada are take up 16. Of the field, 16 saw of the field, then they won't. They're considered dispersed. Otherwise, not. Ask the Gemara on this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Bar Rav Chiver Abba, Ruba Mimayutam, Umayutam Beruba. You have most of them in the smaller half of the field, or you have less, but they take up the roif. What will be the halacha? The Gemara says take. Ask the Gemara further. And again, here there's two ways of understanding the Gemara. The simple way of understanding the Gemara is going back to the ditches that were discussed in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we mentioned the ditches. That makes a difference if the ditches are 10 tefachim deep, are not 10 tefachim deep. If they're less than 10 tefachim deep, they won't affect the sale. They're included in the sale. But now the Gemara says, the Gemara's question is perhaps where don't ditches that are less than 10 tefachim deep bother me if the ditches are only around the perimeter of the field? Why? Because if they're around the perimeter of the field, the way they used to plow the field is they used to go up and down the rows. So since they used to go up and down the rows and these ditches are on the perimeter of the field, they don't bother me. But let's say the ditches, as we'll speak about different situations, are in the field proper, and they cause real problems in plowing the field, it could well be that that would change the entire rule. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. Another way of understanding the Gemara is going back to what we just said now. We just learned that if you have these non-deep ditches, you have the shallow ditches, if you have arba kabin of ditches, less than arba kabin of ditches, the buyer has to accept all those ditches. Ask the Gemara, you know when the halacha is that the buyer has to accept up to four kav of shallow ditches if they're around the perimeter of the field. But if the ditches are in other places in the field, that the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, so they become more of a deterrent, they become more of a problem, and even if you don't have abakabin, they may be a problem. Those are the two ways the Gemara, the Rishonim explain the Gemara. Kishir mahu, if the ditches are formed like a circle, so, as I said, if they were around the perimeter of the field, and the field is a square or a rectangle, it doesn't really disturb the plowing in the field that significantly. But if it's in a circle, it's more of a problem. Kishur mahu. And the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara is that each question that the Gemara asks now is built on the other question. It could well be that if the ditches are a circle around the field, they're not so much of a problem. And therefore, if they're not 10 tefachim deep, it wouldn't bother us. But let's say Kishur mahu. They go as a straight line right through the field. So now, every time you're in the middle of plowing a row, you're going to have to deal with those ditches. Every row is affected by those ditches. That maybe is considered a real problem, and therefore will disqualify the sale. Estadinim mahu. Most Rishonim learn estadinim the way we have the diagram in the Rashbam here that looks like a, I guess you would call it a V. So here, it's really more of an issue. Other Rishonim have in Tzadinim that they're in the shape of a star. Derech HaKlas Mahu, or if the ditches are like a zigzag, again, we have here in the Rashbam such a diagram. Mahu, will those ditches affect the sail, whatever pshat that we learned in this question, and the Gemara remains with a tekel. Tana, Im HaYisela Yechidi, if you have one stone, afilu koshehu, even if that stone is a small stone, einim dod imnon. And here too we have a number of pshatim and rishonim how to learn imha yisela yichidi. Most rishonim say as follows: I have a field, and right by the border I have a stone, and I'm selling you the field. So I would like to start counting the area I'm selling you from the border. However, since right by the boundary I have the stone, so why start counting from the boundary? Start counting from after the stone. That's what the Bryce indeed says. If you have this one stone right by the boundary, a field culture, even if it's a small stone, don't count from the other side of the stone. Start counting from after the stone and measuring the field. Other Rishonim, this seems, I think, to be Tosfos Pshat, Sel Yechidi means that if it's a stone that everybody recognizes, but it's everybody is able to identify that stone. It's a well-known stone. So once it's a well-known stone, it makes no difference what shape or size it is. It's not included. So the Rishonim here to debate, what is this line different than the previous line? So the way they explain is as follows. My Somach Lameitzah makes a difference on what side of the boundary it is. And he's teaching us that even if it's a little indented in the field, but it's near the boundary, don't include it. Now ask the Gemara. Boy Rapapa. Mafsik Ofer Benetayim. The stone isn't right next to the wall. There's some earth between the stone and the wall. So do we say that since the area by the boundary is clear, that's why we start counting from the boundary, or is that earth not significant and we only start counting after the stone? Teiku. Another question. Boy of Ashi. Ofer Mamata Vitsuma Mamala. Ofer Mamala Vitsuma Mamata. Here, too, there's a number of Pshatim and the Rishonim how to understand the Gemara's question. The simplest way of understanding, I think this is what the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara's question. The simplest way of understanding the Gemara's question is our Mishnah Gemara keep on talking about stone. The Gemara wants to know, what is the definition of stone? Is the definition of stone that it has to be rock all the way down? And therefore, if you have rock, if you have earth on bottom and rock on bottom, or vice versa, rock on top and earth on bottom, that is not the definition of a rock? Or is a rock, as long as you have rock there, even though it's not pure rock from top to bottom, it has the din of a rock? That's the simplest way of learning. Another way of learning the Gemara's question is that it's going back to the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara says that if you have the rack next to the wall, you only start counting after the rack, and that's not included in the sale, no matter what size, shape rack you have. So now we did something on behalf of the buyer. Now ask the Gemara, when was this din said? Was this din said specifically when it's pure rack? That's when the din is, as the Brisa says, that you only start counting after the rack? Or it makes no difference if, even if the rack is not pure rack, it's earth on top and rack on bottom, or vice versa, it's already considered enough of a rack that we should start measuring after the rack, and the Gemara remains with a taiku. Says the Mishnah. Base kur offer ani moichalach, if I say to you I'm selling you a base kur offer, mida bechevel pachas kalshu, so let's say we made up that I'm going to sell you a base kur offer, and it turns out that I gave you less than you were supposed to get, yinaka. We should deduct. If I gave you too much, yachsa. Then you have to give me back the land or give me back money. Pash pshat is that you have to give me back, and that's why the Mishnah used the word yachsa. You should pay me for what I gave you more than you deserved. So the Rashbam and many Rishonim ask the obvious question. We learned the Gemara. We learned the Masechta Basra. We learned the Masechta Metziah. Kol dovar shebemidah shebemishkel shebeminyan. That whenever I sell you something exact size, even if I cheated you or I gave you more or less, even a drop, it's already Einor. The regular dinim of Einor that we've discussed so many times, Baruch Hashem, that differentiate between less than a sixth, or more than a sixth, is only when I'm charging you for an item. So if I charge, there, an item has a price, and I overcharge you, undercharge you, less than a sixth, more than a sixth, the dinim of Einor apply. But something that's sold by weight or by size, there's Einor even for the smallest amount. So here I'm selling you a base kur, and I didn't deliver a base kur, because I gave you too much or too little. Why? Why is the sale a sale? And we just have to count the overage or the underage. The sale should be a non, should be a void, should be voided. So the Rashbam says a very big chiddush. The Rashbam says that this thing that Rava said, that Koldova should be midish, should be mishkel, should be minyan, there's immediately a no if you didn't get what you were supposed to, is only by metaltlin. Amish is talking about karka. All the Rishonim are very, very bothered with the Rashbam's Pshat. Because they say that why would we make a difference between Karak and Metaltlin? Where do we see such a Nafkamina? So I saw two other Pshatim in the Rishonim. This is very relevant to the basic Dinim of Einor. One Pshat, I think this is what the way Tosfos learned, is as follows. If I tell you I'm selling you an acre of land, and I know it's really not an acre. It's a little more or a little less. Makes no difference. That's called that I cheated you. Because I was supposed to sell you exactly an acre. But let's say I said I'm selling you an acre of land. Not that I had measured this land and known before I sold it to you that it wasn't an acre. I did measure it. I thought it was an acre. And then it turns out that it's not really an acre. It's a drop more, a drop less. You can't call that Einor. Einor is when I know I cheated you. That I said I'm selling you a certain amount, and I didn't give you the amount I'm selling you. Here I never measured it. I assumed there was an acre. That's why this is not a situation of Einor. A third pshat in the Rishonim. Also, all these pshatim are very relevant. La'loch l'maisa. When is there Einor? This pshat is a very beautiful pshat. When is there Einor? Einor is as follows. Let's say an acre of land goes for $100. And I go, and I charge you less than $100, more than 100, there, Rava tells us that there's a no immediately. The din of a sixth doesn't apply. Here, so which means as follows, that the acre of land goes for 100, and I sold it to you for 99, or I sold it to you for 101. That immediately will be subject to the din of a no. Here, I didn't charge you the wrong price. I charged you the right price. The price that I charge you is the market price, is the Torah price. The only thing is, there was a mistake in the measurement. But if I did charge you the true price. If I charge you the true price, there can never be a no. Continues the Mishnah. However, when the deal was made, it was understood this is approximate. There the halach is, if there was an overage or underage, a quarter of a calf for each saw, the deal stands. And the Rishonim are very interesting, make a very interesting observation. They explain that this is not a din in Hilchos Mechila. It's not pshat that you moichel me, that I gave you to, that either the buyer is moichel the seller, or the seller is moichel the buyer. It's not a din in Hilchos Mechila. That's what we're saying, that we're not going to be, the deal is that we're not going to be exact. We recognize that we're not going to be exact. What would be the halacha? Yois mikan. But let's say it's more than a quarter of a calf per saw. Yasa cheshbin. Then we have to make a cheshbin. Mao maksa loimos. What do you get back? Money. Which means like this. That let's say I gave you more than a quarter of a, I'm the seller, you're the buyer. And I sold you more than I was supposed to. The halacha is that you don't give me back the property. Because what am I going to do with that piece of property? It's a small piece of property. Rather, you have to pay me for the extra that I gave you. Mahu machsaloi mos. But however, if I, the seller, say, you know what? I don't want money. I want the piece of property that you got more than you deserved. Vimrotza machsaloi karka. If I insist on getting back the property versus then getting back the money, that's what you have to give me. Vilama ma machsaloi mos. Why did the Mishnah say that you should give me back money, not property? Because the Mishnah says we were concerned for the seller. Meaning, that if I leave over, when I sold you a field, only the area of 9 kav, or I sell you a garden, I left you over, or kedever kiva, it was a base roiva, it was a quarter of a kav, there, since it's already a significant area, then you give me back property. So let's just take stop where we're up to. Well, the Mishnah is saying is like this, that if I, the seller, ended up giving you more than you were supposed to get, I, the seller, have the upper hand. And you don't give me back the piece of property, you give me back the value of the amount that I gave you more than you deserve. When is that? So Rishonim say there are three categories. When it's less than 7.5, roiva, so I'm moichel. When it's 7.5 to 9, you pay me. When it's above 9, so now it's already a significant piece of property. And once it's a significant piece of property, then you can give me back the piece of property. V'loi is roiva b'vado machzer, el kol ha'moiser. Now, says the Mishnah one more din, we've encountered this din. If you're giving me back, you don't give me back just the amount above the amount that is normally accepted. Once you get back, you get back everything. Furthermore, say the Rishonim, that when the halacha is that the moicher has to take back, because he gave him such a really significant piece of property that there's enough to give back, it's a substantial size, we don't have to do a new kinyan. That's all included in the original kinyan, that this wasn't sold, and it's not like the buyer is selling it back to me. It never became the buyer's in the first place, and a new kinyan is not required.